Let's read that parable and three others. These are four short little parables that Jesus tells. Be Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33, and also 45 to 46. I'm going to stop at verse 46. Four little micro parables that Jesus tells. The first one being the mustard seed. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. And jumping to verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we do thank you for this, your word, as we hear it today. So may we indeed hear your message, hear your words, hear your call to us as we follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This past week, Dee and I and Abby and Becca were away for a conference. We were at the New Wilmington Missionary Conference. It's the place, probably sounds familiar. We've gone there every year for the last 5 years. It's also the place I went when I was in high school for the first time in 1985. It's where I always say I became a Christian, because it was there that I realized that Jesus died for me, not just for the world, but for me, and that I needed that. And it was there that I realized that and received Christ as my Lord. So it's a special place. The kids are, and it's a great delight to see my kids also enjoying it and having it be meaningful in their lives. It's a different kind of vacation. It's a very full, you don't get much sleep, and there are a lot of meetings and a lot of talks, which is kind of a privilege for a pastor to be able to hear and listen rather than be the one speaking. One of the speakers kind of bothered me in one thing he said, but then as I was working on these parables, I realized that he was more right than I thought. He was talking about how it was a Pakistani Christian who worked in Ohio evangelizing Muslims and seeking to have Muslims turn to Christ. And he talked one day about the need to implant a virus into the minds of Muslims. It made me a little uncomfortable. It's like, ooh. He said you have to bring a Muslim to Christ, you have to implant a virus of doubt in their mind. You could take that either as a disease virus, or you could take it as a computer virus. Either way, it kind of works. He said how you have to kind of just point out certain inconsistencies in interpretation of the Quran, certain misunderstandings of Christian theology that Muslims are taught, and as he said, even brainwashed with. And you have to kind of just insert that virus of doubt and let it grow until finally they turn away from Islam and turn to the truth of Jesus Christ. I was kind of uncomfortable with it. It sounds kind of violent, doesn't it? We talk about sowing seeds. We're always sowing seeds, but I never thought of it as implanting a virus. It sounds kind of dastardly. And yet as I was starting to work on these parables, I thought, you know, actually, that may be how Jesus would tell this parable today. The kingdom of God is like a virus that is introduced into a person's body that spreads and grows to until it takes over everything. Jesus here tells four little parables. It's in a whole chapter of parables. We looked at the parable of the sower a few weeks ago. Last week you heard read the parable that we skipped over here, the parable of the weeds, and that's explained in the verses where we skipped. It's a chapter of parables, all of which Jesus is really explaining what he's doing. And really also explaining why the reception he received was so varied. Now, some people followed Jesus, and some people followed him wherever he went, the apostles among those. But there were others too. Others just went around just to see what he would do, to see the miracles he would perform, or to hear his teaching. He was a great speaker, and he spoke very differently than their own teachers. So they came to hear the great rabbi. And others were really hostile to what he stood for and everything he was said. He was a threat to their status quo and a threat to the way they understood faith in God. Such a varied response. And these parables all in a way kind of explain why that is and yet what lies ahead. And these four little micro-parables all do that as Jesus is telling his hearers, including us, what the kingdom of God is like. It is like a mustard seed. It is like leaven in flour. It is like a treasure hidden in the field. It is like a pearl of great price, of great value. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Well, first, all four of those have a sort of abundance to them, don't they? The mustard seed starts out small, but it becomes the biggest tree, the greatest of trees. And so birds can come and perch in its branches, even though it starts off as one of the smallest of your seeds. The leaven. You can't see leaven, and only a little bit is necessary. But just as you put leaven into the flour, It goes to an extreme degree, an abundant degree of leavening in the entire batch. You can look at your footnote, and it talks about a large amount. Literally, it's three satas, which is probably about a total of, I don't know what a bushel is, it's not really within my experience, but liters are, 22 liters, that's 11 bottles of soda. That's a lot of flour. You know, it is. And what this woman is making with just a little leaven, she's leavening enough flour to feed an army, to maybe 100 loaves as they made it back then. Not just a little bit, but a lot. And that treasure in the field, so valuable was it that this man who found it sold everything he had. And bought the field so that he could have rights to the treasure. Same with that pearl. This pearl that was of such value, of such so fine, of such great, great value, that the man was willing to give everything away, sell everything he had to buy that one pearl. And he would still gain in the transaction. One thing Jesus is saying is that the kingdom of God is about abundance. About abundance. The kingdom of God is worth giving everything for. The kingdom of God is worth giving everything for. What do we give for the kingdom? The kingdom is wherever God rules. It's not a place, not the church. The church is in the kingdom, at least partly. But the kingdom is wherever God rules. And to be a part of the kingdom means to be under God's rule, to have called him Lord, to have come to faith in him, and to be, as the image is also given, a part of God's family, to be in his kingdom, to be able to call God truly your king, your father, your Lord. That's what it means to be in the kingdom of God. It is an invitation that is open to everyone. But of course, not everyone receives. Not everyone. And this certainly is the reality that Jesus faced as he was preaching, the best preacher of all time, many would walk away and have no care for what he had said. But some would hear, and some would receive the message, and they would come to follow Jesus. And those same ones would eventually go out into the world to tell others about Jesus. We hear a lot of that story in the book of Acts, as after Jesus has risen and he has ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit then empowers the disciples to go out into the world to preach as Jesus preached, that the kingdom of God is among you. So give up everything. Turn away from all else and be a part of that kingdom. And they themselves would pay the ultimate price. The apostles, all but John, would be executed for their faith in one of the many persecutions that Christians faced in the first century. And many Christians would go on in the next couple centuries in big waves of persecution to give up their life, give up literally everything, including the breath in their lungs, because they were part of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, which was not recognized by the kingdom of the world. That's what it means to give up everything. These parables raise the question, are we as wise as those two men who sell everything that we might have the kingdom? What is it that we are willing to give up when God calls? It's worth everything. There's nothing in this world is more important than knowing Jesus Christ. There is no treasure that can surpass what we have in Jesus. There is no thing, as distracting as they may be, that can compare with the greatness of the salvation that we have received in Christ Jesus. The kids and you did not see the pepper, the little seeds, if you will, on the table. Well, you were distracted by many other things. Flowers, the cross, the offering plates. There are many big things in this world. Many things that look bigger and look more important and demand our attention more than God does. There's nothing that is more valuable than the good news of Jesus Christ. It is truly worth giving up everything that we may gain that. That abundance that God has given to us. These are all parables of abundance. They're also parables of hiddenness. Hiddenness. Everything here is hidden. The mustard seed starts off as really tiny. The smallest of your seeds. I like that. Sometimes people say, well, you know, to challenge the authority of the Bible, they'll say, well, you know, there are smaller seeds than the mustard seed. But Jesus says, this is the smallest of your seeds. It's like, I know there are others, they're mine, but you don't know about those yet. But your seeds, this is the smallest, the mustard seed. And you can't see it. In fact, usually it was not planted as a crop, it was planted by accident. Because it found its way into other seeds. But you'd see it when it grew. And so leaven, yeast, is invisible to the eye. You really can't see it. You can't see it really in the flour which it leavens. But you see the result. It's hidden, but its power is profound. And that treasure, of course, that was literally hidden. It was underground. The man was digging and he found it. And that's when he discovered it. And that pearl, this merchant who was looking all over for things to sell and to buy, he found this pearl when he was seeking it. The kingdom of God is hidden. And there it is, as Jesus is speaking, so many who heard him while he was physically on earth, while he was in the flesh on earth, so many who heard him did not realize who they were hearing. They thought he was just a man, because he looked normal. He was a regular man, a typical first century Jewish man, a carpenter, lived a life like anybody else. What is he beyond a good teacher, beyond someone who has a great power in doing miracles, beyond someone who breaks the monotony of the day? So I come and see him. How many walked away not realizing what was hidden before them, that this man was also God. God Himself in human flesh. And this man was the Christ, the one who had come to save God's people from their sins. That this man held the keys of the kingdom hidden right before them. And so it is with the kingdom. It's there in front of us. Those seeds were there for the entire service. You didn't see them. The same way God's truth is out there. But for many, they don't see it, because they're distracted by the many other things. It's only those who seek that find. You know that word of Jesus that He says, whoever seeks will find. Whoever knocks on the door will be opened. Well, whoever seeks, but you have to seek to find. The reason why God is often rejected today, why the kingdom is often there but not entered into, is because we don't always know that we need it. But when we realize that there's something lacking in our lives, that the way of the world does not seem to lead to life, when we begin to seek, looking for what is real, what is true, is then that we will find. That is the promise that is made to us. It's when that man was digging in the field for who knows looking for what, but came across that treasure. If he had not been digging, he would not have found it. If that merchant hadn't been out looking for things to buy and sell, he would never have found that great pearl. If we don't know that we need something more than what we have, we'll never find what God has. It's there right before us. Churches are open every week, and anyone can walk into any church. There are Christians all around who often are witnessing and telling others. But until you know you need it, you will not hear it. You will not see it. You will not appreciate the treasure that you walk past every day. That's why so many fail to enter. There's also in these parables, there are parables of abundance, there are parables also of hiddenness. But they're also kind of subversive. You see, a mustard plant was a weed. It was not something you plant it for a crop. It's different than the plants that we get mustard from today. No farmer would purposely plant mustard. It would be done by accident. And yet that is what Jesus says the kingdom of God is like. The seed that is disregarded and thrown away, plucked up by anyone, because it has no value. You know what makes something valuable? Something is valuable for a farmer because of the crop it yields. Not because it lets birds perch in its limbs. That's not the point. Farmers are about raising crops to eat or to sell. And yet the kingdom of God is like a seed that is really devalued by the farmer, that has no worth in the eyes of the world. And yet accomplishes a purpose, maybe even greater value. Same with leaven. For us, we think of making bread. But you have to appreciate something about leaven, that in Jewish culture and Jewish teaching in the Old Testament, leaven is actually a symbol of evil and corruption. You had to make sure you got rid of all the leaven in your house before you celebrated Passover. To this day, Jewish homes, they eliminate all sources of leaven, of yeast, leavening agents. It's not really necessarily a good thing, as we would normally think it. Yet the kingdom of God is like this thing that usually represents evil and corruption. And it spreads, is allowed to spread, through 22 liters of flour. Treasure is found by this man. It certainly is a little sketchy as to what he does then. It's a little like going into a flea market and finding something that clearly the owner doesn't know its value. It's a nickel, but you know it's worth $100. Yeah, it's a little dishonest, isn't it, to just pay the nickel when the poor person doesn't even know the value of what they have? It's a little questionable. What this man does by selling everything to buy the field might be considered insider trading according to some ethics structures. And yet this is what Jesus says the kingdom is like. A man who finds a treasure and sells everything, buys the field, and now has something of immense worth, much more than the field that he bought. And that last one about the pearl, when I read that, it makes me think of Gollum from Lord of the Rings. You know, this guy sells everything he has, and what does he have at the end of the day? He has this little pearl, you know, his little precious. That's all he has. But where is he going to put that pearl? He doesn't have a house anymore. What's he going to eat? He doesn't have any food because he has this pearl. He's obsessed about this one pearl, sold everything else about it, and now he has a pearl. We wouldn't consider that to be a wise investment. We think that was a little weird, maybe even a little obsessive. You see, there's kind of a subversive sense to these parables, and that's why I think the whole virus thing would fit in well here. Because the ways of the kingdom are not the ways of the world. The fruit of the kingdom is not the fruit that's valued by the ways we usually do things. Sometimes we are concerned when someone gets a little too religious. We think that's what we have to fear today, that fundamentalism, where people take things just a little too seriously, a little too obsessively, and they lose sense of reason. I mean, they're the threat, aren't they? That's what our world says. Yet the kingdom of God does not fit into this kingdom. We here are king. We are here are all part of this kingdom, the United States. But we're also, if Jesus is our Lord, part of that kingdom too, the kingdom of God. And there are times when those align, and there are plenty of times when they're different. The kingdom of God, though, is the one that should always receive our loyalty. Above our loyalty to any other kingdom, be it a nation, or be it a group, be it even our own desires. The kingdom of God is not the way of the world. It looks odd, looks kind of weird, even threatening. Even as these parables, their situations are not quite so comfortable. It's because the way of the kingdom of God, it's not the way of this world. And yet it is the way that is worth following. Even to the point of giving up all things. Even to the point of only holding as our only possession the knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The virus image is pretty appropriate after all. The call to us is to plant that seed, to spread that virus. And usually we don't try to spread viruses. We wash our hands, we cough into our arm, and if we're sick, we stay home. But in this case, with this virus, it's something that we are called to go out and spread, to breathe on people with the good news, to not wash our hands of the ways of God, but to infect others with the truth of the gospel, which is hidden to many, but which we know, and which is of surpassing worth, not only to us, but to every person in this world. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. To not only seek the kingdom, but also to spread the kingdom, to infect the world with eternal life. Amen.